We've got a four-year-old that lived in Georgia for the last 3 years, and so she had never seen snow, or if she did, she didn't remember it. And so she was pretty excited. It was Christmas to her last night. You would have thought going out and playing. We built the world's smallest snowman with our four-year-old. Yeah, but it had a carrot and it had raisins in its mouth. And so I think we did it right. I was embarrassed to take a picture of it, but we enjoyed it. Our kids enjoyed the snow. And it's so good to see each of you here. And as we look at Luke chapter 2, Luke 2 is a familiar portion of Scripture for this time of year. It's the birth of Christ. But I want to look at Luke chapter 2, not necessarily as a Christmas story, his birth, but I want to look at it as a time of thanksgiving. As we look to Thanksgiving this upcoming week, there are some things I believe in our life that we ought to be thankful for, and we ought to praise the Lord for. And I want us to look this morning and study this topic, the importance of praise. The importance of praise. In verse number 8 of Luke chapter 2, the Bible says, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God." I want you to see there, circle that, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and seeth there again, praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. The element of praise, it's evident in nearly every incident related to Christ's birth. When you see the angels here, they're praising God. When the shepherds come and they find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger, as they leave, we find them praising God. All surrounding the birth here, we find praising. We find a spirit of thanksgiving. We find those that are involved are thanking God for what He's done and who He is. Praise. The importance of praise. I want us to think about that thought here this morning. Praise is a dominant feature in many parts of the Bible. All throughout the Bible, you'll find where people were praising God and thanking Him. You know, this morning we ought to be praising God and thanking Him for His Son, Jesus Christ. Not just this time of year, not just around Christmas time, but all through the year, one thing that we always are thankful for, or ought to be thankful for, is that God loved us so much that He gave us His Son, Jesus Christ. There's always something to be thankful for. Praise is vitally important. And I want to look at a few thoughts here this morning and give us some suggestions why I believe that we ought to find praise and make it important in our life. It's vitally important that we praise. First of all, this morning I want us to see this thought that praise, it helps us evaluate our priorities. Praise helps us evaluate our priorities. If no praise to God flows from our hearts, then our relationship to Him is shallow. One of the ways that we show what's priority in our life is what we praise, what we are thankful for, what we give praise to. If God is a priority in our life, then we would find ourselves praising Him and being thankful for what He is and what He's done for us. A question this morning, is it not a valid conclusion that we ascribe honor to that which we admire? Someone said to me one time, "You sure do talk a lot about your family when you preach." And the reason I talk so much about them is because I love them. The reality is this: I don't just talk about them when I preach. I talk about them all day long. I think about them all day long. You know, that would be the things that we think about, the things that we admire, the things that we love are the things that are constantly on our heart and our mind. The things about God and who He is and what He's done for you and His love for you and His strength He gives and His affection that He gives and His grace that He gives, those are things that we ought to be thankful for all year round. You see, the things that are priority in your life are the things that you praise. The things that are important to you are the things that you talk about. The things that you think most about, the things that are on your heart, are the things that come out of your mouth. And we need to, as the shepherds here, when they returned, the Bible says in verse number 20, the shepherds returned, they were glorifying and praising God. The reason why is this: they saw Jesus Christ. You know, they were just shepherds minding their business out in the fields. They were just simply doing what they were supposed to do. It was one night like every other night. There was nothing they thought significant probably about that night. They probably didn't realize what was happening until an angel showed up. And see, the angel that showed up and those then that joined that angel began to praise God and give thanks to God. And then we see the shepherds doing the same things when they went out into the public, when they went out into those that they knew, began to praise God and thank Him because it became a priority in their life. This week, as we approach Thanksgiving, you know, the things that we talk about, the things that we're thankful for, are going to be the priorities in our life. I find here that praise helps us evaluate our priorities. If we don't express our adoration to God and ascribe to Him majesty and ascribe to Him power and ascribe to Him glory, is it fair then to ask ourselves, is He vitally important to us as He should be? If we're not speaking of His goodness and His grace, if we're not ascribing to Him glory and power and majesty, I believe this, that we ought to evaluate our hearts. And evaluate and say, what is important to me? What is a priority? What is important to you is what you put your thoughts toward. What is important to you is what you put your conversation toward. And praise, it helps us to evaluate who God really is. If we don't worship God, does it not mean that we don't consider Him worthy of our praise? You know, we came here this morning The last couple years of pastoring, I never had to worry about people not coming to church due to snow. It's just not one of those things that we ever considered. I found myself for the first time in pastoring concerned, hoping that the parking lot was cleared and that the sidewalks were cleared. I never even thought that until this morning. It's a new thought for me. And I'll be honest with you, I was excited when I got here knowing that and I knew who it was. It was Slim probably here and Brother Jeffries. I think he was here doing some sidewalks maybe, and Slim out there putting down some salt in the parking lot. And I was excited, and I'll tell you, my thoughts were on that this morning. I've never had that thought before. Who's going to clean the parking lot? It's never been a need. But this morning I woke up with thoughts I've never had. But I'll tell you, what I was excited to know is this, that somebody, those thoughts in my mind, that somebody took care of those things. And I'll tell you, I was thankful when I got here. And then I wondered after I got here, is anyone else going to come? You know, our priorities, the things that we think about, that's what's priority in our life. We ought to consider, as we think about God this week, we ought to consider that He is worthy, that He is due our praise, that He is due our adoration, that He is due our thanksgiving. The reason why is this: He ought to be the priority in our life. You know, once these shepherds met Jesus, their priorities changed. The things they talked about were different. Their excitement was different. You know, they were simply tending to these sheep. And once they met Jesus, the Bible tells us in verse number 20, they went out and they began to do something they had never done before. They went out and began to praise God and thank Him because they met the Messiah. They met Jesus Christ. And because they met Him, because they had seen Him, because they were introduced to Him, their priorities changed. You don't find them going back and simply caring for the sheep in the field any longer. You find them going back, and all they could do is speak about who God was and praise Him and bring glory to His name. You see, their priorities had changed. I believe this, once we're saved, our priorities ought to be different. The things that we discuss, the things that we talk about, our praise on our tongues, the praise on our lips ought to be toward God, and we ought to continually give Him thanks for who He is. The psalmist, because of his deep rapport with God, he cried out this in Psalm 19, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament showeth His handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge." You know, when one has a relationship with God, he ought to find that his spirit is full of thanksgiving. Once these shepherds met the Christ child, they were full of thanksgiving and praise. Their priorities changed in their life. Secondly, I find this that happens here with the shepherds. Praise gives indication of a divine encounter. Praise gives us an indication of a divine encounter. You know, their heart had an attitude of praise because they were with God. You know, Christian, we have the opportunity every moment of every day to spend time with the Creator, with our God. And I believe this, one of the attributes that you find in someone that has spent time with God is their heart, in their mouth, is a spirit of praise and thanksgiving. You know, it's impossible to have a divine encounter. It's impossible to spend time with God and come away bitter and complaining. It's impossible to spend time with an almighty God and walk away not having a spirit of thanksgiving. It's impossible to spend time with an almighty God to have a divine encounter and not be thankful for who He is. You see, these shepherd boys, these shepherds that were there in the field, and before they met Christ, they weren't praising God and giving thanks. They were probably a little bit upset or maybe complaining about what they had to do and stay up all night. They probably were just going through the mundane of life and in doing what they've always done, not expecting a divine encounter with God. But as soon as they met Christ, something inside of them changed. As soon as they had a divine encounter with this babe, something changed. They left there with a spirit of thanksgiving. They left there with a mouth of praise. They could not help but tell others around what Jesus Christ and who He was. After the shepherds had this encounter with the angels, after the shepherd had this encounter with the heavenly host, and as the shepherds had this encounter with Christ, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. You know, Christian, I believe this. Each and every one of us ought to have something to be thankful for and something to praise God for. If you've met Jesus Christ, you have something to praise. If you've come to the cross of Calvary, you have something to be thankful for. Here we find, once these shepherds, once they met Jesus, they had something to speak about. Could you imagine the joy on their face? I was watching my two youngest ones get ready to go play in the snow. And it was just hilarious. They had a box, and they were trying to fit hats and gloves and try to put their boots on. And my youngest just laid there, and she made all of her sisters put everything on her. She just laid there. And the whole time she was laying there, she had this smile on her face. I could just imagine she's laying there on her kitchen floor as all of our girls are helping her get ready, this smile. I can only imagine what she was thinking about. Going and playing in this white stuff. I'm thinking to myself, how much is it going to snow? Do we have to go shovel? And she's thinking, how much is it going to snow? And they're talking about getting trash can lids and going down the steps. I mean, they were just having a blast just thinking about going and playing in the snow. And then when they got out there and they experienced it, it was fun to watch. Now, for many of you, you think, what's the big deal? For someone that lived in Georgia for a few years, that is a big deal, you know? She was thankful. I could tell by the look on her face. She was excited. The reality is, she didn't have to say anything. As I looked at her, I got excited just watching her get excited to get ready to go play. I believe that's the way a Christian ought to be. When we have a spirit of thanksgiving, when we have something that we're excited about, when we have something inside of us that we can't wait to share with others, our attitude, our heart, our facial expressions ought to show that we have something worth talking about. You see, when you've had a divine encounter, it ought to give you joy. You ever come to the place where life seems difficult and life seems hard? Remember this. Remember the time that you met Jesus Christ and He accepted you and He forgave you of your sins and He gave you new life and you were gloriously born again. When we have a divine encounter with God, then we ought to have praise and thanksgiving on our lips. If there's no praise and joy in the lives of Christians, why would others want a Christian experience? Why would others want to be saved? You know, as I watched my little four-year-old Chloe get excited about going out and playing in the snow for just a moment, not for very long, but just for a moment, I thought, this could be fun. Just for a moment. Not enough to make me go out and play, but just a moment I thought, if she's so excited about this, this might be fun. You know, Christian, how many others want Jesus because of how they see you? Could you imagine these shepherds? They are running back to the city, running back to their friends, running back to everyone they know. And something is different now on their face. Something is different in their actions. Something's different in their voice. There's something different about these shepherds. They're not the same as they were that morning when they got up. They're not the same as they were before this day. Something changed inside of them. They began to speak differently. Their joy was different. Their conversation was different. There was something they could not wait to tell. The reason why is they met Jesus Christ and they wanted the world to know. You know, that's something worth praising when you are able to have a divine encounter. Job 42:5 says this, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. You know, Christian, if you are saved, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, if you are born again, then you have something to be thankful for. I find this to be true as well. Praise develops our faith. Praise develops our own faith. It not only gives us indication of a divine encounter, praise not only helps us evaluate our priorities, but praise as well, it causes our faith to grow. It develops our faith. In Hebrews chapter 11, turn with me if you would there, please, quickly. Hebrews chapter number 11, it's known as the faith chapter. In faith, all through Hebrews chapter 11, we find men and women that have by faith done things that please God and God blessed. And faith, it motivates us. As we look at Hebrews chapter 11, let me remind you this, that faith, it motivates us to see God work. And faith, it motivates us to do what we have never done before. Faith, it motivates us to go where we have never gone before. And faith, it causes us to be what we have never been before. And faith causes us to minimize God's enemies and maximize God's power. We find that all through the Hebrews chapter 11. But look with me, if you would, please, in verse number 33 of Hebrews 11, the Bible says, who through faith subdued kingdoms and wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed violent in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn asunder, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom this world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these, all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that without us should not be made perfect. You know, we find all through Hebrews chapter 11, men and women that by faith they served God. By faith they trusted God. By faith they lived. And all through there we find something that's worth praising for. Even though they might have been on the smaller side, even though they might have been on the side where it seemed like the enemies were stronger, we find they by faith they subdued kingdoms. By faith they wrought righteousness. By faith they obtained promises. By faith they stopped the mouths of lions. You know, by faith ought to cause us to have more praise, and praise ought to cause us to have more faith. Each and every one of us ought to be developing faith in our life and growing in our faith. Each and every one of us, as our faith grows, as our faith deepens, it ought to give us more reason to praise God when we see God work. When these shepherds came and they saw who Jesus was, I believe this, their faith was deepened and it gave them something to go speak about and it gave them something to believe in. Their faith was challenged that day and they praised God for it. In light of all this principle, we observe that an expression of praise causes more praise to fill the heart. You know, when we're thankful to God and we show it and we live by faith, you know what God does? He gives us more to be thankful for. He gives us more to praise Him for. You know, as our praise grows, our appreciation ought to deepen. As our appreciation deepens, we ought to discover the barren and unproductive our life is apart from God. You know, the more our faith increases, the more we ought to learn that we need God. The more our faith deepens, the more we ought to discover how much we truly need God. And the more we discover how much we truly need God, the more praise, the more thanksgiving we ought to have toward Him. This morning I pray as we look at this familiar passage of Scripture in Luke chapter 2. I pray as we evaluate that and we look into this, I would ask us this morning, how is your heart? How is your heart? Does your heart have a spirit of thanksgiving? Do you have a spirit of praise? Your heart, our praise, it gives us an indication of a divine encounter. If you've been with God, it ought to show. You know, there are certain people, I'm sure you meet them and I'm sure you know them. You know, there are certain people, when you have a prayer request, you just want them to pray for you. Do you know people like that? You call them a prayer warrior, or maybe you have a name for them. You just say, I know if I need to get a hold of the Lord, I want so-and-so praying for me. It just seems like their prayers get through. You know what you're identifying in their life? Their divine encounter with God. You ever meet someone, it just seems like even in a storm, they are just nothing but thankful toward God? I believe this, the closer we get with God, or closer we get to God, the more others ought to be able to see that in how we praise in our spirit of thanksgiving. Some this week are going to get around family and friends, and for some, I believe this, probably many, they're going to get around family that's unsaved and don't know Jesus Christ. My prayer for our church would be as we gather around family and people we love this week, if there's those around us that do not know Jesus Christ, I pray that our testimony, what we say, our spirit, how we behave, our facial expressions in where we've been ought to show those people we love that having a relationship with Jesus Christ is worth it and there's none better. I don't believe we ought to get around family and friends that don't know Jesus. I don't believe we ought to get around family and friends that do know Jesus and complain. But especially if they don't know Jesus Christ, we shouldn't get around them this week and talk about the depressing things of this world and talk about how bad things are and talk about how negative things are. I believe we ought to get around those that we love this week as we spend time together, and we ought to talk about how thankful we are for Jesus Christ. We ought to talk about how much we praise Him and we thank Him for who He is. We ought to talk about God's strength and God's power and God's majesty. We ought to talk with those that we love this week, what God has done in our lives this year and what we anticipate Him doing this upcoming year. We ought to be thankful and praise Jesus Christ for who He is. The Bible doesn't tell us, but I'd be interested. One of those things, when we get to heaven, I want to find out what impact it made on all those that the shepherds went and told. You know, when these shepherds went back to the city and began to tell about who Jesus was and that they met Him, what the angel said and the praise and thanksgiving on their lips, you know it had to impact some lives. You know it had to give joy to people that didn't have joy. You know it had to give hope to people that were hopeless. You know, it had to give someone a pause for a moment that thought that life was just monotonous and life was just defeating and life was just filled with sorrow. It had to cause someone to pause for a moment and say, if that's what meeting Jesus is all about, I want to meet Him too. Listen to me, this week, this time of year, we're going to be introduced and we're going to meet with people that maybe they feel hopeless. Maybe they feel like life is depressed and discouraging. When they come across a Christian that has spent time with God, whose faith is deepened, they ought to see the result of someone that knows God, and they ought to want and desire that same joy and that same thanksgiving and that same praise that we as Christians have. You know, Christian, I'm also reminded here the condition of the world that these shepherds were living in. You know, these shepherds were living in a place that was occupied by a foreign government. These shepherds were living in a place that was it was depressed and someone else was ruling over them. But even in despite of all that, when they came across Jesus, their joy changed. Their heart changed. The things of this world that maybe once bothered them, that once annoyed them, that once caused them fear, they no longer even thought about. Because they began to think about Jesus and what He has done for them. And so as we gather this week and we have a time of thanksgiving, I pray that truly we would have a time of thanksgiving. And that all we would speak about as our conversations would be is what we've seen God do and what we are thankful for and who we praise. I pray that others would see that we have spent time with God, and because we have spent time with God, we can do nothing else but praise and be thankful for who He is. If Christians have nothing to be thankful for, then we're in trouble. But Christians, we do have something to be thankful for. Our God loved us so much that He sent Jesus Christ. And He didn't just send Him so that we could see the manger scene. He sent them so that we could see the cross. And as we heard sung this morning about the blood, it'll never lose its power. We are so thankful that we have something to be thankful for. Jesus Christ died on the cross some 2,000 years ago, and the power to save us then is the same power that can save us now. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, I pray today you'll trust Him. If you are saved and you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you have something to consistently be thankful for.